Go. The 9th.
Last week was the first Sunday of Advent, and Pastor Don talked about hope. And this being the second week, as we've already elucidated, is peace. And I was all ready and willing, ready, able to go and do this message this morning. And as I was going through bringing up the file, I spent some time this weekend, you know, getting things together, and this morning I took some time to do some final editing and that sort of thing, and closed the file. I saved the file, closed it, and I was experiencing a place of no peace when I went to open it up just before we left to make sure it was on the pad. It popped up and said, file corrupt. Would you like to save the last, you know, to try to recover? And yeah, of course, we'll try to recover it. It wouldn't come up. So I closed it. Let's try it again. Corrupt, would you like to recover? Okay, please. At this point, you know, the piece is kind of like turned into from peace to P-O. Just getting upset, you know, because it wasn't working quite right. And when I finally did get it open, it wasn't saved the last save. So all of the scripture verses were discombobulated and some of the notes were gone. But that's okay, because as Tammy will tell you, I know everything. So we're good there, right? We're good there. So this piece, and it's something that, you know, Tammy mentioned the scripture from Isaiah. She quoted, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, whose mind is set on thee. And that was one of those things. I had a metallic emblem that was on the dashboard of my 1970 Datsun 510 that was that verse quoted, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I don't always keep my mind on him. So therefore, I don't get to claim that promise all the time. So the booklet, I hope you all have the booklet. You don't have to have it with you today, but I hope you all have a copy. If not, there's still some left over by the turquoise teal basket, whatever color we've decided that is. But it's called Humble King. Royalty meets humility in Christmas. And the focus is on Philippians chapter 2. And I just want to go ahead and read that. And it's from the NASB, so it may be confusing to you if you try to follow along on your device or on your ancient, so last century book. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. 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 Last week we looked focused in on that verse 6, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He was at peace with being who he was. He didn't say, you know what, I gave up the throne. I gave up everything that I have, and I have to live out these 30 years without doing anything, without showing the world who I am. I just need to be obedient to my earthly father, my earthly parents. I need to grow. As it says, he grew in stature with God and man. Yeah, God, favor, he grew in those ways. And that took humility. And for us to have peace, we have to find ourselves in a place of humility where we have to say, I cannot control the situation. I cannot control the outcome. I can't make it start snowing or stop snowing. I have no power to do those, some of those things. So I have to be humble and say, Lord, you are the one who is in control. All power and glory and honor is yours. Verse 7 says, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. He laid down his godhood. He was still God, very nature God. But he laid that down to say, I'm not going to use this. Like when he was on the cross, he could have called down all of the angels of heaven to stop everything right then and there. But he chose not to. Yeah. He chose to go through with it. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, for the joy, you and I, that was set before him. He knew what the end result was going to be. And in that, he had peace. As the Prince of Peace, he had peace even on the cross. Able to say things like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Able to say, today you will be with me in paradise. And it came from a place of peace. And it came from a place of humility. Being a bondservant, we may know what that is. You know, the custom in the Old Testament was that if a servant wanted to remain a servant after his debt was paid, he would go to the master of the house and say, you know what, I really like it here. I like being, you know, working for you. You've been very kind to me, and I would like to stay, and the family's going to stay. And that man, woman would go to the doorpost, and it would be the awl punched through the ear, and they would have the earring put in, and that symbolized that they were bonded to that person. They were bonded to that master of the house. Mm-hmm. And that was Jesus. He was a bond servant. David talked about his ears being pierced. My ears you have pierced. And in a way, it speaks of the piercings here, my ears you have pierced. So there's some possibility that David actually had pierced ears. Or it speaks of his ears being opened, that they were opened. That, as my dad would say, you know, get those potatoes out of your ears. You know, maybe some of you heard that little saying, you got potatoes in your ears. And so his ears were opened so that he could hear. And David was a humble guy. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that sought after him. But Jesus became a bondservant. If we want to be great in the kingdom of God, we were to be the servant of all. For some, that may sound easy. And sometimes it can be. We can be the servant for some. In some areas of life, maybe we can be the servant for most. But to be the servant for all, you know what? They don't deserve me. Comes to a place of humility. Peace came all wrapped up. Mentioned this earlier. Peace came all wrapped up in an infant. Delicate. Vulnerable.
Yeah.
Peace, that's how peace came. And we sing the song, Silent Night, Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And whenever I think of that song, I'm taken back to the story in World War I when that song was sung on Christmas Day and there was a ceasefire and there was actually an exchange of gifts from enemy to enemy and there was a time of peace, as brief as it was, sleep in heavenly peace. And from what I understand, it was originally written in the German language and then translated to English and French, whoever was there, and the song was being sung in those languages. Peace came. because they were thinking about that little baby, the vulnerable one, born, laden in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped in grave clothes, as we've talked about before. He was delicate, fragile, breakable. He was in need of protection as a little baby. Almighty God, the creator of everything, put himself in that place to become the most vulnerable. John and Liz have had a baby. Horace and Amelia have become grandparents again. Talk about tender. Talk about vulnerable. Having issues that we prayed for. Health problems. Already coming into the earth. That's like Jesus. Coming in and being vulnerable. Peace wrapped up in a package. And I talked about it a little bit, about the acorn, that just like that little seed, that seed is vulnerable. It can be eaten by a deer or a horse or some other creature. You know, it can rot where it lay. It may not come to fruition. But if it's tendered and cared in nature, we know what it can become. It can become beautiful cabinets. It can become a beautiful floor.
Right.
You know? Or a nice fire. What's that?
Or a nice fire.
Yeah. Oak is it's beautiful. But it's wrapped up in that tiny little thing, that tiny little seed. Peace, as we know, it's freedom from disturbance and quiet. It's calm. Absence of conflict. But it's so much more. Have you seen any of the video, any of the pictures of what's going on in France? You know, the rioting, because people are in need. They have a sense of desperation. And we've seen that before in history, the French people, the revolution, the ousting of Charles de Gaulle, I think in 60, wasn't it him? 68? Was he still the president? Who was the president in 68 in France?
Charles de Gaulle.
Yeah. So there was a massive demonstration and an ousting. The French are all about liberty and brotherhood. And when they don't like what's going on, boy, oh boy, do they band together and let their government know what's happening. But we need to see peace. We need to pray for peace, that there would be no injuries. Because I believe they're going beyond by setting fires and throwing rocks and throwing things and causing great damage. So we want to see freedom from disturbance, even in our own country. We've seen this unrest. We've seen this lack of peace.
Yes.
And in the church, in verse 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. That doesn't mean we have to think exactly the same, but we have to be of the same mind in Christ, to know that He is God, He is love, He is peace, He is joy, He's our provider, all those different things. We come to Him and, okay, we agree on those things. That He was born, that he lived, that He did these miracles, that He died, that He rose again, and He's coming back. All those things that we believe, that we can be of the same mind. Maintaining the same love. Looking for that agape. Trying to okay, well, Lord, give us this agape love, that we can love like You love. Be united in spirit and intent in one purpose. There's that word intention means that we really want to do. We have to make an effort. And this is getting into a little bit more into peace. Yes. We know from discussions in the past what peace is. In Hebrew, it's shalom. And you hear that greeting. It's been kind of watered down to be kind of like a hello.
Hello.
You know, hello, goodbye, shalom, 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 shalom. And we would hear that when Tam and I were working for the for the Hebrew congregation that met at the church. They were Reformed Jews, and we would have to cover up the cross and, you know, do things within the building so that they could have their services and not be offended by the cross. But I told Cantor Goldbart, I told him, I said, well, you know, we may hang the banner, but the cross is still there. You know, it's still there. And we would tease. But shalom, though it's been watered down, we can come back and bring it to a place. It means peace, but it carries a different kind of weight. It's not peace that's just the absence of conflict. It's the peace that Job experienced after he lost everything. Mm-hmm. You know, after this challenge between Satan and God Almighty saying, have you considered your servant Job? Have you thought about it? And everything that Job went through, everything he lost, the material possessions, his family, his own self, physically, the stuff that he went through. But then it was restored. And when we say shalom, it's about that restoration. May there be peace in your finances. May there be peace in the midst of physical trial, whether it be illness or pain, whatever it is, may you just have peace to go through it, even in the midst. It's not the absence of conflict. It's just a peace. He gives us a peace that passes understanding, a peace that passes reason. And I say this a lot to myself, that faith is the place where reason ends. When logic and reason fails us is when faith really comes in. When we can say that he gives us a peace that passes understanding, like you can have. When someone's been diagnosed with cancer, or when there has been a situation in your family, we can still have a peace. How can you be at peace? Well, because my logic and reason has failed me in this situation, but I have faith and I have hope, like we talked about last week. So shalom means it's a completeness, it's a wholeness, being one. So we say shalom in our little church. Shalom, peace. Now something, you know, I think we can, maybe we don't, or maybe we do, I'm going to assume we all agree, that Jesus wasn't actually born during this time of year, but it's a time where the world of believers, of Christian, all of Christendom comes together, and we worship and we say this, we celebrate the coming of Jesus as a baby. With the decorations and the lights and the gifts and everything that it means, everything that Christmas means to us, we can come and we can celebrate. And in this Christmas story that we hear, so often the wise men are mentioned. And if you do a study, you can actually see that the wise men weren't there with the shepherds and the cows and the donkeys and, you know, everybody else that was there gathered around the manger. The wise men came later on. When Jesus was no longer a baby, but a child, a toddler, somewhere around maybe 2 years and a little bit younger. But the wise men are almost always included in the Christmas story. It was a caravan of wise men from the east. And I remember, even before I became a Christian, even before I tried becoming a disciple of Jesus, I remember seeing bumper stickers and buttons and t-shirts that said, and I didn't understand what it meant, but it said, wise men still seek him.
Right.
Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Wise men still seek him. And if we are to be wise, we never give up seeking him and his will and his peace in the midst of our lives. He's always seeking us out. We always need to be looking for him. Tammy and I have one of those nails that you hang in the middle of the tree somewhere. It's hidden. You know what I'm talking about? It's a little nail. with a little red ribbon, and it's about the size of one that would have been used to nail Jesus to the cross. And we take that and we would hide it in the middle of the tree somewhere. And you can't see it. So you'd have to look for it. You know, Tammy might know where it is, or I would know where it is, or whatever. Usually Tammy, because she's the chief decorator. But we have to seek it out. We have to seek him out. Turning to Isaiah chapter 9, and this is where we're going to finish up. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Whenever I read this particular chapter, you probably do too. How many of you hear Linus's voice from Peanuts, from the Charlie Brown Christmas? You know, and unto us this day. Yeah, I hear Linus's voice. So anyway, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Yes. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Yeah. For a child will be born. This is a promise spoken from God Almighty to Isaiah. And it's written down so that the Jewish people, so that the Hebrews had a hope. The Messiah, the hope of Israel, the hope of all the earth. A child will be born to us. A son will be given. I couldn't earn it. I don't have to earn it. It's given. I don't have to earn his peace. I have to seek it out. But it will be given. I will give you a perfect peace that passes all understanding. Perfect. An undivided peace. Peace that is whole. Peace that we can say, well, okay, I'm just going to focus. I'm just going to look at you. I'm going to look at you. I'm not going to look at the storm. Jesus, I'm just going to look at you as I walk on this water. Yeah. And we stumble like Peter. We look away because we're creatures of sight. But he says, walk by faith and not by sight. That's a growing thing. That's a growing process. And I think all of us will be doing that until the day we take our last breath. The government will rest on his shoulders. We can see all the governments of the world throughout our history. And we see how people treat one another. We see how governments treat one another. As Tammy and I watch this program, we see how the alternate universe of the German Nazi nation taking over the East Coast of the United States, and how they treat people with this iron fist. And there are executions, and there are tortures. And then we see on the West Coast, the Japanese Empire in control. And it's the same tyrannical. We know that God is the one who sits upon the throne. His government is the one that matters. What we have here, it's going to come and go. We've talked about it before. God is the one who raises up and brings down all of our leaders. Kings and dictators and emperors and presidents and prime ministers and all the leadership. He knows what's going on. He's not blind to it. But we come to him. We are citizens, not of this world, but of his kingdom. His name will be called Wonderful. This is talking about a little boy, a little baby boy, infant, in a bread basket, wrapped for death, wrapped in grave clothes, because of the mortality rate at that time. And thinking that little baby is wonderful. Yeah, we can say all babies wonderful. But no, that will be his name, will be Wonderful. He will be called Wonderful. Counselor. The counselor. He will give us a counselor, the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside and comforts us and gives us wisdom and helps to show us the direction, to give us understanding in the Word and to light our way. Mighty God, this little baby, a child, an infant, will be called Mighty God. Really? Mary knew it. Mary knew it. The shepherds saw. Wise men who were not Jewish saw. They saw the star and began their march. The shepherds, lowly shepherds, not like the learned men and women, the learned ones that operated in the temple and the synagogues. They didn't see anything. Their eyes were blind. But the shepherds saw, and they knew. They knew this little one was Mighty God and the Eternal Father. And here's the one that we focus on today, the Prince of Peace. There's the Prince of the Power of the Air who is Satan, Lucifer, whose time is short, who has a lot of power, but Jesus has all authority. And the keys of life and death are in his hands. The keys of the kingdom are in his hands. He won them back. He took them back. He is the Prince of Peace. Yeah, the Prince of the Power of the Air is still... I remember Hal Lindsey. How many of you remember Hal Lindsey from back in the long days ago?
Right.
He wrote a book, Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. And that is so true. It's still true today. But guess what? The Prince of Peace is alive and well in his kingdom, which resides in us.
Mm-hmm. He controls the circuit breakers.
He's there. Lucifer's out there. He's not in here. He can whisper in here, which can change the direction of here, but we focus on the Prince of Peace. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come today. We pray for people who are a part of our tiny little congregation, our tiny little family here. We pray for Anna. We pray for Hope. We pray for our sister Angie down the road. Pray for those of our body who are not here today. And we just agree to speak Shalom over this.
Yes.
And I say Shalom over Shalom. Each one gathered here today. Would you restore what the enemy has taken? According to your will. In this season, you show us your peace. Reminded again that you said, blessed are the peacemakers. Peace just doesn't happen. Sometimes we have to seek it out. We have to make peace. We have to bring reconciliation. I thought a lot, Don, about this past week when you talked about having to meet with a couple people in the neighborhood and be a peacemaker. And sometimes that can be hard because we don't know what's going to transpire. You know, we see comments on social media, and maybe we have arguments, or we see people arguing. We see, I can't think of the word now, where we don't understand exactly what they wrote. We're taking it wrong. I can't think of the word right now.
Misunderstanding.
Well, yeah, we're misunderstanding what it is that they're saying. Our perception. You know, we have our confirmation bias or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Fake news.
Yeah, we come. But to have peace means we come together and we sit down and we pick up a phone or we have real interaction, face to face, real interaction with someone else. So that we can iron out differences and bring peace. And like I've said before, it's peace making. It doesn't just happen. It requires our sweat equity. And I mean, you may have fear walking into a situation to be the arbiter, to be the middle person, to bring two people together, two sides together, and say, okay, we're going to work this out. You may not know what you're going to get. Anyway. Yeah. Shut that thing off.
It's good.
Shalom. Only half the notes.
Everybody put your hard hats on. Snowflakes are getting bigger.
Yeah.